This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike Spike and Fritz. Every Wednesday at 3, we are lucky enough to be joined by one Larry Anderson, who every time he comes on, Phil's win the night before now. So thanks for the win, LA.
Yeah.
Thank you for the win.
We're going to make this a daily show?
Right. Hey, I'm in if you are. Absolutely. Yeah. All right.
If we won, everyone.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a good record. Somebody call the Phils, call WIP Management. There has to be a way for us to work this out.
So,
big topic today. Bryce gets hit yesterday. Phils don't, no retaliation. If I assume you would have liked to have seen some sort of retaliation from the Phillies. Is that correct?
Yeah, at some point. It doesn't, when you play a team as many times as we play them, it doesn't have to be the next hitter, but I'd rather see it done right away, personally. It's just the game's different. It's changed, and that's not part of the game anymore, I guess. You don't have to protect your players anymore, which, I don't know. You used to try and protect your players as a pitcher, but now as many times as we've been low bridged, and I'm not saying you got to throw at somebody's head, but knock somebody down, throw one in under their, you know, under their armpit or something, make them get out of the way, make them move their feet. But I mean, when you don't even, nobody even gets uncomfortable. It's just, I don't know. It's just a matter of opinion. It's, you know, old school, which, you know, they want to get rid of, versus, which I, old school means knowing baseball. That's all old school is. Old
That's
school
right.
is playing baseball the way it's meant to be played.
Mm-hmm.
And when people want to call it old school, it's just, there's nothing analytical to say you can't do that or shouldn't do it or you should do it. Well, maybe analytics will probably say you can't hit, shouldn't hit guys, but I don't know. I just don't agree with it.
That's
my opinion.
Yeah.
Nah, man, you're more than entitled to it.
At the risk of sounding like a coward, and trust me, LA, one full hour of listeners calling me a coward for this, I'm used to it. Let me devil's advocate just for a second here.
Yeah.
So I'm looking at the Braves, team 2-3 games under 500, had big expectations. They're maybe looking for like a spark, right? And the last thing I want to do with the Mets right on our tail and the Braves sort of underwater is give them any reason to rally behind anything. Is there a concern at all that you go back at them and then all of a sudden, like, maybe they win that game and then all of a sudden the Braves, I know it sounds like simplistic and it's more than this, but all of a sudden the Braves are feeling themselves a little bit and we've like woken them up. Like there's a part of me that was just like, beat them, let them stay under 500, 10 games behind us, don't even worry about it. Does that enter your mind at all?
That's a valid point. It is. And I don't question it. And that's what I'm saying. It doesn't have to be right away, but it's tough to do, especially in a 1-0 game where every base runner, you know, could be the ball game. So in that situation, there were times when it didn't matter the situation. You protected your player, and especially one of your better players, or if not your best player, you protect them. And that's just the way it was. I mean. And again, I'm not saying you got to hit somebody in the neck or throw at their head. I'm saying, but you know, you throw something inside and well off the plate, and if they don't want to move, they get hit. And if they want to move, okay. But at least you let them know, hey, we didn't appreciate that. And that's really, as much as anything, is saying, you know, we're not going to allow you to keep doing that. And it's happened to a lot, not necessarily against the Braves, but other teams. You know, Harper's been hit what, 3 times now in the last week.
Yep.
Bohm was getting low bridged earlier on. He wasn't really hitting that well at the time, but there was still pitches. And even if it's unintentional, it's like, you know what? Well, then put somebody out there that knows where the ball's going.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at the pitches that Strider threw to Harper, they were all around the plate except that one. It wasn't even close. And that's what I said when it happened. I said, that wasn't even close. I mean, he's got better command than that. and to me, and it very well could have been a case of saying, and I've done this before myself on a mound, saying, okay, I want to throw a fastball in. But if I miss, I'm going to miss in. So, and when you get that in your head, all of a sudden, you know, you end up pulling the ball a foot further in than you planned on. But you're saying, I'm not going to leave it out over the plate. I'm going to make sure it's in. And maybe there wasn't any intent there. But when you think that, then you open yourself up to a chance to hit a guy. But if you're okay with that, then that's what you have to do. That's the way you have to think. Because you don't want to make a mistake to him out over the plate. So, that very well could be what happened. But, I mean, that ball was so far in that he had no chance to get out of the way of that. And for that, I just say, you know, make Ozuna move his feet. You know, low bridge him one time. Make him go down. Mm-hmm. And if they don't want to do that, if they want to stand there and get hit, then they can wear it, and then it's done. But I don't know. I don't know what it's like down on the field anymore. I really think the game's lost me. It's passed me by.
No, game, we don't agree that.
Game hasn't lost you. It hasn't passed you by. I don't care how many numbers and metrics and analytics they come up with. The game is the game, and you know the game very well. And to the point you just made about Strider throwing that ball inside, there's nothing there that eliminates the possibility that he was sending a message. So if he's sending a message and he winds up hitting Bryce Harper, to me, whether he intended to do it or not, it's just as he may as well have intended to do it, because he's certainly sending a message throwing a high and inside like that with a fastball. And like I said, maybe he didn't want to hit him, but he certainly wanted him to back off the plate some.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's any question about that, Ike. And we're not in his head, so we can't. I mean, I can't positively say he did it on purpose, and I don't know if he did. I really don't. But I know he, like you just said, he wanted that ball inside, and he was not going to leave it on a plate. And it's basically just saying in your head, you're going, if I make a mistake and go too far and hit him, so what? So be it.
Yeah.
But you know, does that mean he intended to hit him? No, but it meant that he doesn't care if he hits him, which kind of is close to the same thing.
Yeah, yes, I would agree
it's the
that.
Same thing.
Well,
yes.
Do you think? All right, so they don't do anything. Do you think Bryce Harper is sitting somewhere saying, "Throw at somebody"?
What the bleep is going on?
Yeah,
here?
What the hell is going on here? Yeah. Do you think he is part of? Obviously, you're just guessing, but do you think that he is affected or thinks about the fact that they did not, or at least have not, retaliated?
I mean, as good as Harper is and as much as that hurt, I would think he would want somebody to back him up, to protect him there. I don't know. Crucky might have mentioned this on TV last night. When I was playing in 93, Hollins was getting hit right and left. And he finally said, and this it really was what led to our brawl in spring training, because Hollins had said to our pitchers, to the five starters, he said, I got hit a ton last year. If I get hit again, I'm not, and nothing happens, I'm not going out to the mound. I'm going to come after one of you guys.
That sounds like something Hollins would say, by the way. Yeah.
Huh?
Sounds like something Hollins would say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he was serious, and if you knew Davey back then, you had to take him serious, and you better take him serious. And because if it happens, you're really going to be sorry. Yeah. It's just not going to go well for you. It really led to the brawl. I believe it was Tommy Green that drilled I don't know, remember who it was, but it led to a brawl.
Yeah.
And it was like, that's it. I mean, you take care of your players. I would think Harper would be like, I think he would appreciate somebody saying, "Hey, I'm not going to let that happen to you. You're my guy. That's not going to happen."
Well, Hollins' nickname was Psycho, wasn't it? If I remember correctly,
He had a couple.
Yeah. on to the Phils, who keep on winning, by the way, which is excellent. I know this sounds crazy, but like, at what point can we start to compare this staff to the 2011 staff? Because You know, it sounds nuts, but then you go, oh, Halladay, Wheeler, and then the way Lizardo's pitching and the way Sanchez continues to pitch, and even with Nola not even part of it, it just seems their top four right now, with Ranger looking this way, are as good as I can remember a top four ever looking for the Phil.
I think they're right there. I mean, they're right there with the 2011 team, with Halladay and Cliff Lee. I mean, that's Wheeler and Lizardo, righty lefty. I mean, it's very similar. And then you go down the line, it's like, it's, I mean, you go, what, they have Hamels at that time, Roy Oswalt.
Yep.
We got, as you said, Ranger and Sanchez and Nola. When Nola's on track, when he's, you know, when he's himself, and he was, I think he was really getting to that, getting back to himself when his ankle thing happened. And that just, I think you can just toss out that game that he tried to pitch on it, because it's, I mean, it's still not right. So, you know, he was doing something different at that time when he got, you know, blown out. But to his credit, kudos to him for trying to go out there and give him the innings. And, but I mean, you look at that, look at this rotation when he's healthy, and I mean, man, I don't know. I mean, you can certainly compare them, and I think everybody has a opinion of which one is better. I don't know if anybody could say which one is better definitively. I just don't. That's how good this rotation is, outstanding right now anyway.
And yeah. And last thing, LA, the talk about the rotation, but also Alvarado goes down, and Kirkering's been great. Romano seems to have found himself. Like, even the bullpen, see, Tanner Banks, I don't know, all year has looked, I don't expect much out of him. He's not facing lefties. When he's facing lefties, he's pretty good. I don't know. The bullpen, it does not look like the same weakness that it looked like
it was
a month
first
or 6 weeks
into
ago.
The season.
Yeah.
And I think part of it too is realizing, I think, in themselves, and not that they didn't do it before, but before it was like you had Alvarado. He was going to be your closer, or, you know, one of your closers, and it was kind of a safety net. So I think guys maybe got a little more relaxed.
Right.
And then he goes down, all of a sudden it's like, oh, man, everybody moves up a step. They're moved up, you know, closer to the back end of the bullpen, and it's like, man, I got to bear down. And they've taken a bull by the horns and have done a terrific job. I mean, Strom's back, his velocity's back now, getting closer to where it was before. I think that's going to be a big difference. And so everybody's, you know, like you said, Kirkering's doing a nice job. Everybody's just picking it up and saying, this is what we got to do. This is where we're at. And we're not going to, you know, let Alvarado's situation hold us back any.
Yeah, and I can really see it with Romano now. I didn't see it at the beginning of the year, really, but he's been like, aside from the home run, was it in Colorado? I forget, or was it in Sacramento?
Yeah, the Kurtz home run.
Yeah, he's looked unhittable, actually. Like, Romano has looked pretty lights out, so.
He has, and I will say this, and not to make excuses, I don't like to make excuses for anybody, but I will make excuses for this, for that mound out there. Was everybody had a problem with it. It seemed to, you know, but you know, it's hard to say anything, because then you look like, oh, I'm making excuses. It's like, if it's bad, it's bad. And I was talking yesterday in the office, like, Romano looked like out in Sacramento, like he was pitching on a trampoline. I mean, he was bouncing around forward off to the side. It was all over the place. And when the mound, if you're not comfortable on a mound, I can tell you, it makes a huge difference. And a lot of these guys just weren't comfortable on a mound. Fortunately, he got through it, but, you know, and that was the one, to me, the one kind of tough game for Jordan, that he just, but I blame it on the mound, because he's come back and pitched great last night, threw the ball great, and I think confidence for all the guys down in the pen is making a big difference.
All right, LA. Well, we're going to keep up these wins. We expect them now out of you. So
you're like Carlton 72, pal. It's win day.
Yeah.
Exactly. And if don't call me, you know, next week if we didn't win.
If they do lose.
Yeah, you're out, buddy. If that happens, you're out. All right, LA. Thank you, man.
Appreciate it, brother.
You got it, guys. Have a good one.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, so yesterday was 100 days till the Eagles kick off against the Dallas Cowboys.
Oh.
And every day that we're on the air,
yep,
we're going to have another question
first, the game is officially canceled.
Oh, right, yes. Yeah. Tonight's game is postponed. Split doubleheader tomorrow. First game 1:05, second game 6:45. Well, so if you have
pretty big news.
Yeah, sorry.
There should be no retaliation tonight.
Well, you can retaliate tomorrow.
No, I know.
What's the difference?
You got two chances.
Yeah, got two chances tomorrow. Both games.
Tell you what.
Yeah.
Another tough work day for us.
How about this? Keep throwing baseballs at them until they're bleeding. I don't care how many guys you have to hit. So yeah,
get a hatchet. Why not?
Yeah. Come on. Why stop with a baseball? So yeah, tonight's game is postponed. Split double. So if you have tickets for tonight, that game is 1:05 tomorrow. And tomorrow night, 6:45 game stays as is. So so every day for the Eagles, we are going to ask another question about the 2025 Eagles. And we call it this.
Every day Eagles.
That's right. Everyday Eagles, which we don't normally do. So 99 days, Ike. We are 99 days from the kickoff of the 2025 season. Mm-hmm. The question today, and we'll learn a little bit more about this when we have Elliott on at 4, at least a little bit more, is starting cornerback on the opposite side of Quinyon Mitchell. And our options are, as I see them, we have Keely Ringo, who is the beat writer's favorite. You know, a lot of physical tools, Keely Ringo. We have Adoree Jackson, who is a former Giant, who the Eagles signed in the offseason. We have Eli Ricks. And I suppose, though I think it's unlikely, we could have Cooper DeJean start on the opposite side of Quinyon Mitchell sometimes as well.
And Elliott said that Cooper DeJean was starting in base defense on the outside.
Huh. How about that? So do you look surprised?
I'm totally shocked.
Yeah, I'd be surprised too. How would you handicap this whole thing?
Well, let's just start off. I don't see Cooper playing outside. However, few times they decide to play base defense, I guess maybe he could be out there as the outside corner. I just don't see that to be likely very often, as most teams don't even play base defense very often in games. That being said, don't worry, Cooper will be out there, and I think he'll be a main factor in the defense. But to your question, who's on that other side? If I'm being honest, I don't have anybody that I'm saying should be the starter right now.
Right.
So, in fear of not being definitive with my answer, I'm going to have to be non-definitive.
How about this? Handicap it like if we say Ringo, Jackson, Ricks, right?
Yeah.
Give me a percent chance you think each guy is the starter. That way you're...
I think it's pretty much the way you just listed them.
It's Ringo won.
I would think Ringo gets to, it's his job to lose.
Yeah. I think they probably want Ringo to win the job.
Yeah.
That would be my guess, is they want him to win it. But
there's something there, in my opinion. And this is his third year?
Yes.
This is a big year. Because, you know, my old coach, the late, great Jim Johnson, you know, once told me, and he believed that by your third year, you're sort of defining who you are in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
Right now is the third year pretty much shows what you're going to be and who you're going to be in the NFL. Now, there's always exceptions to the rule, but for the most part, players will usually have either shown you this is what they are or this is what they aren't. And so this is big for Keely and Sidney Brown, and we'll talk about him on another day when we talk about that position. It's because it's now or never. Either you're going to prove yourself to be a starter or you're going to be a backup. All right? You're going to be a backup. I know this personally.
Yeah.
I was in that position. So I know this personally.
Well, I almost think it's a little bit like Tyler Steen, right?
Right.
If this isn't the year for you.
That's another prime example,
right.
Yes.
If this isn't the year, and I actually think that year might have been last year for Tyler Steen, mm-hmm. but if this isn't the year for you, then you're not going to make it here.
Well, you're not going to be a starter.
Right,
You're a backup.
Right.
You know, that's pretty much how they're going to view you. So I think Keely gets the first shot. I would imagine he'd have to be a liability out there for them to go to Adoree Jackson. Only reason I say that is because he's younger, and so you would want him to be the guy that's opposite Quinyon Mitchell. you go to Adoree if you feel like Keeley can't be the starter.
Yeah.
Adoree's the veteran. He understands coverages. He understands down and distance. He understands situational football. He's their insurance policy if the young player doesn't live up to what they expect. So I think Keeley gets the first shot, and if it's his job to lose, and then it's Adoree if Keeley doesn't win it.
I think it's
Eli Ricks is the backup.
I think it's worth noting that Keeley Ringo wasn't even the first backup last year. Isaiah Rogers
was. Exactly.
And I think like the...
It's much like Sidney.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think the question for me is, or the other part of this is, Vic Fangio doesn't seem to care about like... I'm not saying he's like some bandit or whatever, does whatever he wants, but the organizational priority of my gut would be, if you'd ask Howie, he'd say, give Keeley every chance right. in the world. Whereas Vic Fangio is going to look and say, if Adoree Jackson gives him a better chance of having a better defense, I feel like Vic Fangio is just going to start Adoree Jackson.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like
that, and he should.
Yeah, and that's what I agree.
Yeah, we got high expectations.
Yep, yeah, absolutely.
And so Coach Fangio... is going to put guys out there that he can rely on. That the number one thing for a defensive coordinator, man, is can he trust you? Meaning that, do you know what the hell you're supposed to be doing out there? Now, it's one thing physically if you can't do it, but from a mental standpoint, you can't be out there making mental mistakes because you break down and you compromise the entire defense when you don't know what you're supposed to do out there. And that's where Adoree Jackson comes in at.
Right.
As sort of the veteran guy that you can put out there. And that's why Isaiah Rogers mm-hmm. got the shot of being out there, even though it was his first year in the defense.
Yep.
He's been in the league long enough that he understands coverages down and distance and all those sorts of things.
Well, and you just saw last year Fangio basically not playing Devin White and basically not playing Bryce Huff, even though the team had indicated they now look, obviously they believed a lot more in Bryce Huff. Devin White was a 1-year $5 million deal. But it was still something.
$5 million.
Yeah, $5 million. It's not nothing.
Yes.
You know, and same with Bryce Huff was, but we forget this sometimes. Bryce Huff was the most guaranteed money they handed out last offseason. More than Saquon Barkley.
Yep.
Yeah. So it
now, they did not extend Bryce Huff this offseason like
they
extended
Saquon. Million? They didn't give him $40 million. $40 million guaranteed.
Bryce Huff, who was he at practice today?
Reportedly not. There.
Reportedly not. We'll find out from Elliot who else what wasn't there.
There'll be some excused absences.
It better be. Maybe he had what did Jalen say?
Oh no, that was Kerry Williams.
Sconces. Yeah, he was picking out sconces. What did Jalen say when they asked him why he went to the why did he go to the
scheduling
White House?
Conflict.
Scheduling conflict.
Scheduling. Hold on. Scheduling conflict, and that's not pertinent right now.
Yes.
And no follow-up question.
Yeah, and then A.J. Brown, I had a personal commitment, not political.
Not political. That didn't do anybody in the White House.
Yep. All right, coming up next.
Bryce Huff doesn't get that.
No.
Yeah, he doesn't get scheduling conflicts.
No. I wonder if Bryce Huff, if he changed his number. I wonder if anyone knows how to get in touch with Bryce Huff.
I thought you meant his number.
No, his actual phone number, you know. Coming up next, you know, I'm actually concerned about this guy. A potentially broken man is coming up next. So we are the official Flyer show in Philadelphia.
Always have been.
And we do Flyers in 50 with Broads, 3:30 every Wednesday, usually.
Broads ought to be excited.
Well, but last Friday.
Yeah, but he got emasculated last Friday.
He got pants by Al Morgani.
Yeah.
So
shockingly.
The question is, does Broads have the normal Broads energy coming up next?
He's been broken.
Yeah.
Now I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, a broken man. He's a broken man.
He was tweeting about out-of-bounds plays by Tom Thibodeau Obi last night.
I saw that.
I mean.
Who are you trying to fool?
Who are they? Seriously.
Can you see me tweeting about like what happened in a hockey game?
He can't even spell basketball.
Yeah.
Let alone. Shoot basketball. I mean, what are you talking about?
He's watching the game going, yeah, why are these guys on skates?
Yeah, what a sick out-of-bounds play by Tails.
Can you dump it, Chase, in basketball?
Wow.
All right. Flyers in 50 is next. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.